So she thinks I can resurrect this thing, huh? And so we went up to my office. We started talking. And we're talking around a lot of the same stuff, the ground we'd plowed before. And finally I just said, look, let's just cut to the chase scene. You want to be God's man or not? And he said, you know, I listen to you teach on Friday mornings, and then I listen to the pastor on Sunday morning and hear you at a couples group. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, is what they're saying right? And I said, yeah, it is. And he said to himself, yeah, it is right. And he said, should I do it? Yeah, I should. Am I going to do it? Probably not. I'll never forget him saying that. I think he was speaking for a lot of guys. I don't think it was just his problem. I think men in general have a problem living what we say we believe. Can I get an amen from the congregation? But I want you to know something. That's normal. It doesn't mean that you're a loser, although you may be a loser. That doesn't mean you're a loser. That doesn't make you a loser, okay? Because that's the struggle of growing in Jesus Christ. And you know, if we look at 2 Corinthians 3, and that's the reason we have this study we call a journey, because the Christian life, once I came to know Jesus, I didn't realize it at the time, but I just started a journey. Now, I'd actually been on a journey to come to know Christ. And then once I came to know Christ, I'm on another journey to become like Christ. Sanctification. We call it discipleship. And learning to do all the things that you do if you really want to grow and become like Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3, right at the end of the chapter, starting with verse 12, therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. You know, if you have a hope in Jesus Christ, if you're sure of what you believe, and that's the reason when we put these wristbands on guys and say, man of God, that's the reason they say, do you love Christ? Well, see, hidden in that is, does Christ love you? Do you love Jesus Christ? We love him because he loved us. That's the way it works. We love people that love us. Love begets love, in other words. So we ask guys, do you love Christ? Absolutely. Do you want to find your identity in Jesus Christ? In other words, does he define who you are, what you do, what your plan is, how you act, conduct yourself, your manners, how you treat people, and all the above, and more? You find your identity in Jesus Christ. See, because if you find your identity in Jesus Christ, you don't have to be insecure again. You're building your house on the rock, not on the sand. And you can be a bold dude. And then the last thing, you want to spend the rest of your life learning to become like Jesus. Now that's an important question because it has great implication. All these questions have great implications. You want to spend the rest of your life and let every circumstance, every situation mold and shape you into the image of Christ. It's a journey. And that's what he's talking about right here in this passage in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. So because I know for sure, and I was talking to the guys telling you about last week, and he didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah, and you know, we had an interesting conversation about all that. But I told him, I said, you know why I believe in Jesus as a Messiah? Because I know him. I can speak with great boldness and just say, I know him. I don't know about him. I talk to him every day. I don't know what he thought about that. He looked a little cross-eyed. But I can speak with boldness because I know that I know that I know. Amen?
Amen.
So, and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. You know, Moses goes up on the mountain, he comes back, his face is glowing. He doesn't know it. You know, when you're full of the Spirit of the Lord, people can see it even if you can't. And so he had this glow about him. But you know what happens? You come to know Jesus, and you know how this works many times in guys' life. They come to know Jesus, and man, are they lit up. And in Scotland, they call it fully lit. And he just wants to tell everybody about Jesus. And then he realizes that a lot of them don't want to hear about it. And they start giving him a hard time about it. And a lot of his friends fade away. And then the glory in his face begins to fade away. And so Moses didn't want people to know that the glory was fading, so he put a veil over his face to keep them from seeing it. That's a prideful guy. That's what we do. We want to hide when the glory is fading away. We don't want people to know we're backsliding. Our heart's not there. It's become hardened. We feel separated and unconnected, but that's what it is. But we don't want to admit it. And we don't want other people to know it. So that's what Moses was doing. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. In other words, they don't know Christ and the veil hasn't been lifted. Do you remember when the veil was lifted from you? You remember when all of a sudden, and it may not be sudden, for some it may have been gradual, but the veil began to come off. Now I remember that night the veil came off and I said, God, I'm a loser. God, I can't live the Christian life. I've failed at everything I've tried. I can't follow through. I can't keep doing it. I don't even want to do it. And I know I'm not the man you created me to be, but I want to be. I was a wannabe. Would you make me that man? The veil came off. I don't understand. I've told you this, 100 times. I don't understand all I know about that. About how the veil comes off. He calls you out of darkness into light. You're born again. You're regenerated. You're redeemed. You're saved. All that. Everything we call it. It's all true. I don't understand the spiritual chemistry of the Holy Spirit coming in, but I know He does because it happened to me. And He comes into your heart and He changes your heart. The old man has passed away. The new has come. So we're born again spiritually into a new life. The old life has passed away. The old devils has passed away. The old habits. And some of them die hard, don't they? And some of them die and then resurrect on a fairly regular basis. And they're not welcome, but they come. But we have to open the door to them for that to happen. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. You know, no man is in the dark so deep, and this was true with the religious leaders of the day with Jesus. No man is in the dark so deep, Jesus said, than he who thinks he's in the light, but he's really in the dark. You know, that's something that's common to all men. The reason we need each other in the Christian life, we need a band of brothers, we need small groups, we need guys that we can share our hearts with and pray with and support and encourage each other. The reason we need that is because we got stuff in our lives that they see that we can't see. Believe it or not, there's stuff in your life, if you're married, your wife sees that you can't see. Now, she has a habit of pointing that out to you, I'm sure. I mean, if she sees something wrong, she usually speaks up. Thing is, the painful thing is, there's one or two things going on there. Either it's true and we can't see it, or it's true and we don't want to see it and we're in denial. Because if I agree and say that it's true, then I got to do something about it. But if I can live in denial and think, well, that's not true, she's wrong, or it's really not true. And you have to sort through that. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. And this is where the Holy Spirit helps us sort these things out in our hearts and minds. But if you're one of those guys that has a hardened heart in that regard, and you're just, what's that word, obtuse. Go look it up. You're not going to like it if that's who you are. It means kind of stupid and dumb and slow. Slow on the uptake. And I think we can be that way. And we can, and every time something comes up like that, if we don't give into it, if we don't admit it, if, you know, even if if Susan said something to me and she accused me or pointing something out, and if she was really wrong and if that's not really true, I still have the problem that she thinks it's true, and that's, I got to make it right somehow. I got to help her, because that's what my job is. My job is to help her remove all the obstacles, and I become an obstacle. As soon as he said, "You're man and wife," I became a big obstacle in her happiness. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, see, there's that turning to another journey. You've been on a journey to come to know Jesus. He's been convicting you of sin. You've been seeing that all your good stuff is not so good anymore. It's not working. It doesn't last. It's just got you in a lot of trouble in a lot of different ways. You experience all the guilt and the shame from hearing the law of God, the word of God. And you got this nagging feeling in your heart that something's not right. I've been baptized. I believe all the right stuff. I know all about Jesus. But something's not right here. There's some dots that haven't been connected. And the reason I know there's something not right is I can't live this thing. I don't like to read my Bible. I don't like to be around fully lit people, because it just convicts me that I'm not fully lit. And I need to be more excited. I need to be more disciplined. I need to somehow, whatever's my problem, I need to get it together. Now, I think you know what I'm talking about. Now, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Hallelujah. Can I get a hallelujah from the congregation? I'm telling you, that is something of a miracle right there. Whenever a man, you know what the veil taken away means? The guy all of a sudden realizes that there's no good in him, that he's a sinner, that he doesn't need to defend himself. And if you accuse me of that, I go, you're right. I stink. But I smell pretty good in Christ. And so now the aroma that you're going to get from me now is no longer the stink from me, but it's going to be the aroma of Christ in me, my hope of glory. And so he made me a new man. I smell different. I act different. And when I'm around you, you're going to see the difference. It's not because I decided I was going to be different. It's because he made me different. I decided I want to be different a whole bunch of times. I decided I want to stop doing this and start doing that. But I couldn't do it. Oh, I could for a little while. I mean, I can stay away from that donut table for a little while. But one of these times I go buying donuts, just, I don't know if you knew this before, but they have hands and arms. And they reach out and grab you. So you just kind of go around them or come in another door or something like that. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, liberty. Let me read that again. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The journey that we're on, guys, once we come to know Jesus Christ, is a journey to get rid of guilt and shame. That he took all of my guilt and shame on him at the cross. I mean, the cross was a necessary thing. I mean, he asked not to go in his humanity in Gethsemane if there's any way this cup could pass from me. But there was no other way in God's economy, in God's theology, in God's plan, in God's solution. There was no other way to get it done than that he would give his only begotten son that he loved so dearly, that he'd never been separated before from. This was cataclysmic. That he was separated from Christ when he took all of my sin and your sin, the sin of the world, on himself. And he was separated in sin from his holy Father temporarily. And so now we're on a journey to freedom. We're on a journey to liberty. We're on a journey to get the guilt and the shame out of our lives, and I don't have to live with it anymore. I've made peace with reality. I was a sinner. I'm still a sinner. When I get my eyes off him and I start getting me back on the throne, and that's part of the journey that we're on, is keeping Jesus on the throne and us off the throne of our lives. Keeping him in his rightful place in our life. Now, the question needs to be begged. You need to be asking this, so how do I do that? And if you sat around with three or four of your buddies here this morning, you could probably come up with the answer pretty easy. Doing it is a pretty hard thing. But coming up with the answer, it's not that we need more. You don't need one more message from me or your preacher or the guy on the radio. You just need to do what you know you should do. Amen? Just do what you've been hearing. And don't give them a probably not. Am I going to do it? Probably not. Do you know what to do? Yeah. Should you do it? Yeah. Are you going to do it? Probably not. You know why he said probably not? Because he's looking at his past history. He looked at what he's been doing, and probably not is describes what he's been doing when it comes to obedience in Christ. And that's a sad situation if, in fact, and I believe it is, most guys who profess Jesus Christ are probably not guys. They're not guys that are all in. They're not guys that the freedom has come in their life to where their freedom, they've let go of their plan. They've let go of their right to themselves. They've let go and surrendered to Him who loves them more and has a better plan. You don't have a better plan for yourself than He's got. I'm telling you that right now. And if your plan continues to work in your life, you know where it leads you? There's a whole room of testimonies here. Leads you to a ditch. It doesn't lead you to hope and freedom and liberty. It doesn't lead you to guilt-free, shameless living. Shameless, guilt-free living doesn't mean you don't sin anymore. It just means when you do, you hate it. And you confess it. And you make it right to God and others if you need to. You make restitution. You're a man of God. That's what a man of God does. That's how he stays pure and clean and holy in his heart. That's the reason you keep a clear conscience. Nothing worse than a guilty conscience. But see, God came to clear our guilty consciences, take away our shame and our guilt, and to free us up in Jesus Christ. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the journey we're on. We're on a journey to freedom. I got it, I lost it. I got it, I lost it. Two steps forward, one step back. That's the journey we're on. And it's normal, okay? Everybody goes through it. It's we read all this stuff here in the scriptures, and it's the stuff that every guy, it's common to every man. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. See, when the Spirit of Jesus Christ comes into you, now they, in those days, their mirrors were real polished metal, so it wasn't like our mirrors today that are just crisp and clear. It was kind of blurry. But still, they had mirrors that reflected the image. And that was the point Paul is making. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. Well, what's the glory of God? The glory of God is who He is. I saw the Lord sitting high and lofty on His throne in all His glory. The seraphim were saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. The whole earth is full of His glory." The room was shaking, filling with smoke. He just saw the glory of the Lord, the majesty of the Lord, the character, the nature of the Lord. Isn't mercy beautiful? Isn't mercy and forgiveness and grace glorious? See, that's what the glory of the Lord is. And He is glorified in that. And there's no other God like Him. Where's another God that's full of grace and mercy and forgiveness? Where's the other God that's got loving kindness? Where's a God that loves to bless and bestow, and He's generous? He presses down and shakes together and overflows it into your life. That's the glory of the Lord. And when you get in God's presence, you start to experience His glory, and then you start reflecting His glory as in a mirror. So people come to you, and He goes on to say here, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, you're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. From glory to glory, you're being transformed. In other words, people are beginning to see the image of Jesus Christ in your life. You're never more like Jesus than when you're giving grace. You're never more like Jesus than when you're forgiving others who don't wish you well and have hurt you deeply, and you forgive and you give mercy and you give grace, and the cry of your heart is, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." That's the glory of the Lord in you. Have you done something to put a bush basket over that light, that glory? Are you reflecting His glory with your wife? How big is her resentment bank towards you? Not that it's your fault.
Everything in that bank may be true. Probably is. Most of it. You've hurt, you've offended, you've neglected, you've not met her expectations and violated her rights. Besides that, got a great marriage. And it's not your fault she has a resentment bank. That's between her and the Lord, and she's got to deal with that, and he'll deal with her on that. You got to just worry about your resentment bank and take care of your resentment bank. Are you reflecting the glory of the Lord in your relationships, especially your relationship with your wife if you have one? Paul says if you don't have one, stay that way if you can. But that's another message. But I think you get it already. Because God wants you and I to go from glory to glory. That's not sinless perfection. That's talking about progressive sanctification. That means a growing. You have, you're reflecting a certain amount of His glory in your life, but now all of a sudden you made a breakthrough. You made a breakthrough to grace. And so rather than hold a grudge and try to get even and go the other way when you see that person coming, you can embrace them. You can forgive them. You can give them grace. You're free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. You don't have to feel that heaviness. You don't have to have that grudge or the guilt that goes along with it. You can be free in Jesus Christ. And He wants to take us from glory to glory. He wants us to be overcomers. See, on this journey that we're on, he see, in Revelations, He talks about overcomers. Overcomers are guys who run up against that obstacle, that pride, that selfishness. That's where it's all rooted, by the way, guys. Losers blame others. Winners take responsibility for their own stuff. And don't have to be defensive or offensive when someone's coming at you and accusing you of something, whether it's right or wrong. We don't like it. We don't like to be accused of things. We don't like our good evil spoken of. Be accused of things we don't think we did, but maybe we did. And so are you a peacemaker? Are you reflecting His glory and making peace with all men? Are you at peace with all men, as He said over in Romans 12? As far as it be with you, be at peace with all men. And that means that you don't have anybody in your life that you that can point a finger at you and say, you wronged me and you never made it right. And so you try to make all those things right before God. And only a guy that's had a breakthrough from glory to another glory, from a level of maturity in reflecting His image. What do you got in your life right now that you need to overcome? What's holding you back? What's keeping a bushel basket over your light? What's keeping your salt from being salty? What's keeping the reflection of Christ in your life from being clear? It's a dangerous thing to be there and not confess those things and not deal with those things, because you get back to your heart being hardened. When He said right here, their hearts were hardened. The more you reject the Spirit of God when He's trying to convict you of sin so that you can be free from that, that's why He convicts you. The devil comes along and tempts you. James talks about this. The devil comes along and tempts us to do what's wrong. Not because he wants us to do what's wrong. He wants to steal the glory from us. So we'll be ineffective and useless and then worthless to Jesus Christ in the Great Commission. That's what he wants to do when he comes along and tempts you. And when you fall, he wants to steal your glory. And when you fall, he wants you to say, I'm a loser. I did it again. Why are you surprised? You should be surprised when you don't do it again. Not when you do it again. See, if you made peace with reality, that left to myself, all I can do is do it again, whatever it is, then I'm not surprised when I do, but I run to Him when I do, because He's already taken it on Himself and forgiven me. I just need to go and ask in repentance and say, God, change my heart. Give me strength. I don't have a spirit of timidity. I don't have to be afraid of that. I have a spirit of boldness. Because I know that He said, if you'll confess your sin, I'll be faithful and righteous to forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That is a hallelujah. And so you don't have to carry it around. See, as a young man, I never heard that verse. No one ever told me I could confess my sin and he would be faithful and righteous. That's who he is, to forgive me and cleanse me of all my sin and unrighteousness. Wow. That's huge. But are you hiding under a bushel this morning, bushel basket, and your light's not shining and reflecting his glory? Because you have some sin in your life that's unresolved, something God's been picking at, the Holy Spirit's been gnawing a little bit, you're pushing back, please don't be hardened. Don't be that guy that thinks he's in the light and you're really in the dark. That's hardened. You don't get there without already saying no many times to the Lord. When he's just trying to get you fully lit, what you got against being fully lit? Oh, well, if I'm fully lit, then people are going to think I'm a fanatic. And if I'm fully lit, he's probably going to send me, I don't know, smuggling Bibles into China or something. taking wheelchairs around, handing them out to people that can't walk. Who knows what he'll do? He's full of all kinds of scary ideas. So I don't think I'm going in that inner chamber. I'm just fine right here. How you doing? Fine. You fine? I'm fine. You fine? We're all fine. Not. And so he wants us to understand these things that are on the journey, these things that are normal and natural. God wants us to understand that's just part of the deal. You don't have to brand yourself as a loser because you're struggling on the journey, because that's what journey is. It's struggle. And that's what James said. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, when they come your way. He didn't say if they come. Troubles, we've talked about this many times. You're in a troubled world. You're in a fallen world, a sinful world. And it's a dangerous world. And you need to have your life on a rock. You need to have somewhere where you can hide your life. In him. Somewhere that's safe and secure. Somewhere that the enemy can't get to you. Because he puts you in his bubble of grace, strength, boldness, security, peace that passes all understanding. Brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, and this is gonna get us a little bit here. You've heard this many times. But I think we need to hear it many times, many more times. Because this is a journey we're on, and this is helping us on the journey if we get this down. Consider it an opportunity of great joy when your trials come your way. Your faith has to be tested. If your faith is going to grow, if you're going to go from glory to glory in your faith, more maturity, more reflecting the image of Christ, it has to be tested. So don't be surprised when God uses the devil to test your faith. See, he just uses the devil to make men of God. And a lot of times, we're going to go through testing in all kinds of tests. He says all kinds of testing, various trials. And they're coming in every direction. And God wants you and I to face those trials in the Spirit of Christ and claim his promises, claim his power, claim his peace, claim his grace. Come away as a man with strength and security and boldness. You don't have to live a timid, weeny life. You can live a life of boldness and strength in the promises and the truth of God. Knowing who you are, that's the reason we put wristbands on guys to remind us of who we are. We're men of God.
Absolutely.
So we're the guys that's supposed to be taking ground. We're not supposed to be intimidated by him. And when we fall and when we stumble, we get back up. We confess it. We repent. And we get back up. Now lay me down to bleed a while, only to rise up and fight again. The devil would use it to crush us, discourage us, to make us give up and quit. Your wife tells you, you don't deserve to wear that wristband. Get it off. That discourages us. Nobody can hurt us like she can hurt us. And we've hurt her, she's going to hurt us. But a man of God deals with that. He humbles himself. See, the great freedom in knowing Jesus Christ is I can humble myself now, and it doesn't mean I'm not a man. I can bow down. I can confess sin. I can say I was wrong. It doesn't mean I'm weak. It means I'm strong when I do that. See, it's that upside down kingdom that we've been born into. If you want to be first, you got to be last. I'm free to be last now. I don't have to promote myself. I don't have to put myself up or prove something to somebody. I'm free not to do that. If you want to live, you got to die. So I can die to my rights. I don't have to defend myself anymore. You can call me names. You can accuse me of doing things that I didn't do. You can make up fake news. Well, see, we do that all the time. Fake news is not something new. You and I have been living with fake news our whole life. And you can make up stories about me like they did Jesus. And every other Christian who's been fully lit. And you know what's even worse than that? It's when we Christian believers do it to each other. I mean, it's bad enough when outsiders who don't know us want to persecute or lie about us or put us down or turn people against us. But it's even worse when we do it to each other. It's worse when the body of Christ is divided and broken and at odds and holding crusades against each other and trying to see the good in each other, trying to build each other up. See, we can be free from all that critical spirit, judging each other. And boy, the scripture is so clear on all that. We got to get over it. We got to be overcomers. If you want to go from glory to glory, you can't get stuck in judgmental, critical attitudes. Putting people down instead of building them up. Praying for them. If you see something wrong in their ministry, you see something wrong in their life, God didn't show you that so you could criticize them. He showed you that so you could pray for them. See, when you watch the news on TV, that ought to be your prayer list. Instead of just looking at it and getting crushed, getting angry, getting bitter, God says, I didn't show you this stuff. You don't see these people acting out like that and doing what they're doing. I showed you this to know how to pray for them. Are you free to pray for them? Can you go from that glory to another glory? Can you go from the glory of criticizing to the glory of praising God because He's the solution and laying hold of Him? See, that's what God wants. It's what He wants from me and you. He wants us to go from glory to glory. And we're on a journey to do that. You're not always going to go from glory to glory. You're going to slip and slide and struggle, but that's normal and it's part of the deal. Just get back up. And here's why we join together as band of brothers. We help each other get back up. Amen. We come alongside each other. We support each other. We pray for each other. We help each other stay on the track. And without other godly men in your life, you're never going to be the men of God that you've been called to be. And God has given us an amazing gift here, and we're going to have to stand before God. And He says, what did I leave out? Didn't you have a whole room full of godly men in your life? Didn't you have teachers? Didn't you have worship leaders? Didn't you have small groups and journeys? Didn't you have prayer meetings you could go to? What have I left out here that you need to be a man of God and to go from glory to glory? And I want to ask you as we close today, would you pray that God would take you from whatever glory you've got, whatever reflection of Christ you've got, to a greater reflection of Christ? But to go from here to there, you're going to have to die to something. You're going to have to deal with something in your life to go from glory to glory. You're going to have to repent of something. You're going to have to be broken before God, or you'll never go from glory to glory. You'll never be the man of God you could be or should be. And guys, it'll never change. You might as well give in and to the Lord. If you're going to give in to Him. Surrender to Him. Say, Lord, take it out of my life. Give me strength and discipline. I don't want to feel that grudge anymore. I don't want to hate that person anymore. I don't want to criticize anymore. Whatever it is, we got all that stuff going on, and we're never going to get the job done. We're never going to be the light in this culture, the light in a crumbling culture. And see, God wants you to have His character. When your faith is tested, He said, the reason it's being tested, that you may have my character. And you know why you need my character? For that guy sitting next to you. Every time you go from glory to glory, you bless a guy sitting next to you. You bless your wife because you've broken through to grace and forgiveness, strength. That critical spirit has been repented of. God's taken it out of your heart. Everybody around you gets blessed when you quit criticizing and judging, when you quit neglecting and pulling away. And so God has called us to this. That's what you've been called to. So either walk away and say, nope, like the rich young ruler, say, I didn't realize this is all he's calling me to. And you can walk away anytime. Just walk away. Feeling grieved because you want Christ and you want all that stuff too, but you can't have it. If he's calling you, he's calling you to come. And he's calling you to come with nothing in your hands, no goodness, no righteousness. He's calling you to come saying, I'm a sinner and I can't help myself. And Lord, apart from you, I'm done. I can't save myself. I can't strengthen myself. I'm not the solution. You are. I'm the problem. Thanks for being my solution. I want to go from glory to glory. I want to live my life for your glory. I want people, when they see me and see me coming, they like to see me coming instead of see me going. Because I'm shining the grace and the love and the nature of Christ. Can we stack hands on that this morning? And listen, if you have something you need to repent of, don't put it off. Do it now. Do it now. If you've got something you want to repent of today, men are standing in the room. If you want to stand, and that means there's something in your life that God is dealing with this morning, and you want to stand against it and say, Lord, change that in me. And Father, that's what we're praying this morning. Men are joining hands here because we love each other and we need each other in Christ. And you've given us the gift of each other. And Father, we want to go from glory to glory today. We're not shadow boxing here. We want to change, transform into the image of Jesus Christ. Not for us, but for your glory and for others that benefit and are blessed when we reflect your glory. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to die. There's something I'm dying of, something these men need to die of this morning, something people listening on streaming video need to die of this morning, some that will hear this message later when they check it out on a website who need to hear this word from you as you call us to yourself to set us free to glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for being such a great God and doing that. We give you praise, and we will for eternity, and we'll do it all in Jesus' name. And all God's men said,
amen.
Give them heaven, guys.